We have begun talking about history for a specific purpose. When you look at history, you can find one way of looking at it is to find the answers to the big questions of life. Questions everyone wants to know the answers to. Why am I here? Where did I come from and where am I going? Now, there's a lot of different ways of looking at history. We're looking at a biblical view of history, so we're looking at history from God's perspective. And we're looking at it from the analogy that God is like a manager of a business or anything really. And like any manager, he gives his servants responsibilities, things to do. And like any good manager, he sometimes checks on how they are doing. Well, in that study, we start with the first age of history. And since we're looking at history from God's perspective, we are looking at what God does particularly. Now, anytime you're going to be talking about a period in history, you need a name for it. I've called it the Age of Innocence. Because that's what people were like during this time. Adam and Eve were created sinless. They were created right with God, but completely ignorant of evil. They're created pure and intelligent, but naive. Now, God has a purpose for all of history. That purpose is to bring glory to Himself. How that works out is specific to each time in history. And we can find the beginning of that right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. There's a lot more here than we have time to look at today. But I want to focus on perhaps one of the more important phrases in this chapter. It's said seven times. And God saw all that He was had made, and behold, it was good. You can find this phrase in verse 4. You can find it in verse 10. In verse 12. In verse 18. In verse 21. In verse 25. And then in verse 31, he emphasizes it. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, any craftsman, when they make something, perhaps they stand back and they look at it. Does this thing do what I want it to do? Does it look like how I want it to look? In 6 days, God made everything that is. And each time he looks at it and says, that is good, that is good. In other words, it does what I want it to do. It looks the way I intended it to look. We can find one of the things God intended creation to do stated for us specifically in Psalm 19.
我们在诗篇第十九篇, 我们可以看出神特别要做的。
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge.
所以这就是诗篇第十九篇的第一节。
In other words, it doesn't matter where you look in God's universe. Everywhere you look, it declares the same message.
所以你不管在哪里去看，你都可以看到同样的信息。
It declares that God is great, wise, and powerful.
它告诉我们神是伟大的，神是智慧的，神是有能力的。
Take the most powerful telescope you can find and look as far away as you can see.
你去找一个很远的海岛，看得越远越好。
And you will see that the universe shouts that God is great and wise.
你可以看到整个的宇宙都告诉我们神是有聪明的，神是智慧的。
Take a microscope and look as small as you can see.
你照一个放大镜去看一个最小的。
And there you will find that the universe says God is great and God is wise.
你在那里也可以看到这个宇宙说神是就有智慧的，神是聪明的。
Or simply take your own two eyes and look around you.
或者去看一看你左右。
And you will find that the universe says that God is great and God is wise.
神是伟大的，神是智慧的。
So God made everything that is in 6 days, and all of that declares that He is glory. He is glorious.
所以神在六天之内创造了一切，他所创造的都说神是伟大的。But
one thing that God made shows God's glory more than any other.
但有一件是神所创造，比任何他其他创造说神更伟大。
And that is the creation of mankind. All through Genesis chapter 1, you hear over and over, God says, and something happens. We come to the creation of man, and things sort of stop. He doesn't just speak, and there is man. He takes the time to do it differently. Before he creates man, he explains what he intends this to do. And that was our memory verse for today. God and Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
这就是创世纪第一章26节到第28节。
In other words, I'm going to make man in my image.
换句话说，我用我的形象来造人。
Now we know what a statue is.
我们知道神的律典。
It's made of something different than the original man it's supposed to be representing.
所以这个塑像造出来跟以前的不一样。
It's usually made out of bronze or marble or something that is durable.
通常是用铜啊，用个大理石所造。
But it's got the same shape as the thing that as the man that it's supposed to represent. It's there to represent the original image that it reflects.
他只是在这里代表这个人的形象。
So if you look at that statue, you may have never met the person, but you get some idea of what they looked like.
你看他那个像，虽然你没有见到过他，你大概对他有一点概念。
In Alton, Illinois, there is a statue.
在伊利诺州有一个像。
Statue of the tallest man in modern medical history.
是在现在这个现代的医学历史上最高的人。
Robert Wadlow died in 1940, so I obviously never met him.
So, 这个人他在1940年就死了。
But I had the opportunity of standing beside his statue.
可是我有机会能够站在他铜像的旁边。
So I have a pretty good idea what it would have been like to have met him.
所以我有一点点意念，大概假如我见到他的面什么样子。
Well, God made man in his image.
是神以他的形象创造。
So although all creation shows God's glory, man is especially to show God's glory.
虽然所有的被创造都是神的荣耀，但是人特别有神的荣耀。
And God intended that people should reign like kings.
所以神希望人可以像王一样的控制。
They are supposed to rule and control the whole earth.
他们应该来管理统治整。
In other words, Adam was something like a king priest.
So, 有一点，亚当应该说是第一个王。
As priest, he was to represent what God is like.
他也是祭司，所以他更代表神是什么样子。
And as king, he was to rule over God's creation, over all other creatures and things on earth.
所以他是王，他就可以控制神所创造的一切。
So that expresses God, the purpose for man in creation, to rule.
所以神创造的目的，创造人的目的是来管理。
Now, God, as manager or owner of his universe, also gave man responsibilities.
所以神让人做这个他所创造宇宙的管理者，他给他也有他的责任。
And for that, we turn to Genesis chapter 2.
我们现在看创世纪第二章。
So the responsibilities that God gave to man, or because we're talking about the first time in history, the all of these, everything here is brand new.
So 这里因为我们是历史的开始，所以这里所有的都是新的。
We find here the very first task that God ever gave to mankind.
所以这里是神第一次给人的。
It is not an unpleasant or difficult task. In fact, it's something Adam will want to do. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it.
So 神耶和华将那人安置在伊甸园，使他修理看守。
Now God created the Garden of Eden to provide for everything that man could possibly need.
神为他所创造的预备了伊甸园。
Unlike our world today, the garden produced everything Adam needed to live without Adam actually having to work for it.
跟我们现在不一样，当初的伊甸园，亚当夏娃可以住在里面，不必工作就可以吃。
So Adam doesn't need anything, it's all provided for him.
所以因为亚当不需要任何的，一切都为他预备好。
But the Garden of Eden is a wild place.
所以在这个伊甸园里面是一个美好。
God intended that it should be cultivated by man.
神的旨意是那个应该要人来培养。
In other words, Adam is supposed to make this garden to be his home, to make it comfortable and make it however he likes. And that's not difficult because at this point the world is an easy, simple place. So, the first task to work and to keep the garden. Now God also gives, at every point in history, God also gives commands for man to obey.
在每一个时代人，神都给人有命令来遵
So we also find here the first law. Verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Such a simple command. There's this huge garden with far more trees in it, with far more fruit than Adam could ever possibly want to eat. And in the middle, there's just one tree. And he is not to eat of that one tree. Now, God gave the tree a name, the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, this tree, Adam, is going to teach you what good and evil is. God wanted Adam to learn that obeying God is good. And disobeying him brings harm. Now, God wanted Adam to learn that by obeying him. And that's the whole reason the tree was forbidden. It was a way to teach man something God wanted him to know. So we find the first job, the first law, and also the first human society. The rest of chapter 2 describes the creation of Eve. Up to this point, there has been just one human in the whole world. And he doesn't know anything else but just being him, and just him and God. So as far as we know, Adam was quite content and happy that way. But for the very first time, God says something is not good. For 7 times in chapter 1, he says, "It's good." Now, something is not good. It is not good that the man should be alone. And once again, he doesn't make Eve the way he made all of the female animals. When God made the animals, they all simply popped out of the ground at the same time. Here he does it differently. Because man is different. First, he's going to teach Adam that Adam needs something. That's the reason for this exercise of naming the animals. Now, part of that is Adam already begins to exercise his authority as ruler over all the animals. But in the process, Adam sees something. Every animal he sees comes in pairs. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Then he counts himself. 1. It's just me. And he realizes, I'm looking for something. Something I can't find.
So
And God deliberately waited until Adam figured out, I need something. Then God makes Eve. But he doesn't make her out of the ground. He makes her out of a part of Adam, out of his side. Why? Well, Adam himself tells us that. The first human poetry. Verse
23.
Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Finally, I found what I'm looking for. None of the animals were my equals. But this one is not just my equal. She is part of me. So, God creates the first human relationship. That is the first time, the first person-to-person relationship. And the relationship he creates is the relationship of marriage. That's why Moses gives us an explanation in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So already we get something that connects to our world today. Why does marriage exist? Where did it come from? Here's why it exists. Here's where it came from. God made it at the very beginning of history, even before the fall. He created it to be special. So here we find the first set of responsibilities that God gave man. Compared to our world today, it is all so simple and so idyllic. One job, simple and easy. To make this wonderful garden his home. One law, simple and easy. Just don't eat the fruit of this one tree. And the first example of any kind of social organization, marriage. Well, now we have to explain how we get from that to something that looks like the world we live in now. And that's where chapter 3 comes in. You know the story. It starts by explaining the serpent was more crafty than any beast that the Lord God had made. Of course, Moses has to tell us that because that was true then, but it's not true now. By the way, I have no idea why the snake was talking. We find as the text, as the story continues, this has got to be more than just a snake. In some way, it's also the devil. But beyond that, I'm not sure why the snake is talking. Now, perhaps Eve hadn't been in the garden long enough to realize that animals don't talk as a general rule.
夏娃在亚伊甸园还没有太久，不了解这动物不能说话。
But at any rate, she starts talking to the snake.
所以她就开始，夏娃开始跟蛇讲话。
Or rather, he starts talking with her.
哦，或者是蛇对她先说话。
And he tries to get her to question the good God.
他让叫他来怀疑这个良善的神。
Did God really say you can't eat of any tree of this garden, this lovely garden?
难道神真的说你在这个也不能吃任何一棵树的果子吗？
And immediately Eve goes to correct him. No, that's not what God said.
所以马上夏娃就改正他，这不是神说的。
She says in verse 2.
在第二节。
Or in verses 2 and 3. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.
So, 第二节跟第三节。
Notice she doesn't get the quotation quite right.
你可以注意，她这里所讲的并不是完完全全正确的。
God said, You may freely eat of any tree in the garden.
神说你可以吃任何一其他果树上的果子。
Eve says, Well, yeah, we can eat of the trees.
所以夏娃说我们可以吃。
She doesn't emphasize the freedom as much.
她并没有强调神给他们的自由。
God named the tree. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
神给那一棵树有一个名字，叫分辨善恶的树。
She simply says, well, the tree that's in the middle of the garden, whatever it's called.
而夏娃就是说那棵树就是在园子里面的。
She adds to the commands. She says, don't eat it and don't touch it.
And 她更增加了神的律法，她说不能吃也不能摸。
God didn't say anything about not touching the tree. They can touch it, they just can't eat it.
神并没有说不能摸。
And God said, in the day you eat it, you will surely die.
神说，当你吃的时候，你必定死。
She says, lest you die, you might die.
这里说是免得你死，也许你不死。
So she doesn't quite understand God's law like perhaps she ought to.
很可能夏娃对神所定的律法不太了解。
Still, if she does what she knows, she will do well.
她就做他所知道的。
But the devil deceives her.
但是魔鬼欺骗了他。
Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die.
那么首先那个魔鬼呢说你不一定死。
When the serpent lies to her, he gets the quotation exactly right.
所以当这个蛇去欺骗的时候，他所说的是完完全全正确。
Except he denies it.
可是他否定。
He knew exactly what God said.
他知道神所说的是什么。
And he's deliberately trying to deceive her.
他定义的要来欺骗他。
He says, for God, verse 5, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
所以因为神知道你们吃的日子眼睛就明亮，你们便如神能知道善恶。
God's trying to hide something from you.
神想要把它们藏起来。
He doesn't want you to eat it because he knows you'll understand good and evil when you do.
也不让他们吃，因为他知道吃了他们会分辨善恶。
Now God wanted them to understand good and evil. That's why he put the tree there in the first place.
神要他们知道善恶，所以他为什么把那个树摆在那里。
And so when the woman wants to understand that, that's a good thing to want.
所以假如那个女人要想知道的话，那应该是好事。
The cruel irony is that in a twisted way, the serpent's words proved to be true.
所以这个很奇怪，很奇妙的一件事情，就是说你知道它是错的，可是你要去做。
Once they eat, they do understand good and evil, and their eyes were opened, but it does not bring anything good.
所以当他们吃了以后，他们眼睛就开了，他们就知道什么是善，什么是恶，可是带来的没有好的。
Their eyes are open, but not to good and evil, to the knowledge of their own sin. And God himself says in verse 22 of chapter 3 that Adam and Eve do understand good and evil. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil." But if Adam and Eve had obeyed God, they would have understood good and evil, and they would have been able to do good. Now they understand it, but now they can only do evil. So, the first age closes very short, and man does not keep his responsibilities. And God calls man into account. Adam and Eve try to hide from God. Of course, it doesn't work. And eventually, they can no longer hide. And we find some additional things that impact our world today. In verse 19, we find the addition of toil and death. God tells Adam, "By the sweat of your face you will eat your bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are dust, and to dust you will return." Why do people die? Why is work hard? This is why. We were not created to be mortal. But we are. Work was not supposed to be difficult, but it is. But even here, in the middle of judgment, God does not forget mercy. God didn't cause them to drop dead on the spot. He could have. Instead, he places the sentence of death on them. Which gives them hope for the future. And we also find the first promise of one to come who will one day end all this and reverse it completely. Verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head, you will bruise his heel." Now he's talking to the serpent here. The promise is one will come, a unstated descendant of the woman, a descendant of Eve. Who will finally judge the serpent the way he deserves. Now in the process he will be hurt. But the serpent will be totally defeated. Now, we know the rest of the story. We know his name. His name is Jesus. And he died on the cross, that's how he was hurt. That death was the payment for our sins. The sin problem that begun right here is solved at the cross. This is where hope comes from. But it doesn't end there. Someday in the future, he will come not only to forgive sins, but to wipe all trace of sin away from this earth. This promise right at the beginning of history looks all the way to the end of it. And so in this first age of innocence, already we find things that shape our world today. God created his universe to bring him glory, and it still does. God created man to be in his image, and he still is. God did judge man, but he also remembered mercy. And so we understand why there is death, sickness, and difficulty in the world. But already, we are at this right at the beginning, we are looking to anticipate a time when that will no longer be true. When through Jesus Christ, sin can be forgiven and sin will one day be solved forever. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have given us promise of hope. That even when you rain down your righteous judgment, you do not forget mercy. You could have simply wiped out humanity right at the beginning, but you didn't. If you had, it would have been no more than we deserve. But instead, you have worked and sacrificed everything to redeem us. And given us hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.